Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that so fun?
Love it. Love it.
Welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Dude Paul.
Yeah. That song even includes Green Dudes.
I know. I was going to mention that. We got a call out. That's good.
So I just want to thank Robert Reynolds. I almost called him Gus because I grew up with him and we know him as Gus. But Robert Reynolds and Ernie Halter, who wrote that for us, and then Ernie Halter performed it. They're just amazing.
It's really great. Upbeat and very inclusive.
I don't know how. Well, we were going back and forth just for fun. And I thought, oh, he doesn't have to do that. You know, he was very sweet. And I started listing all the things. He's like, how am I going to get that into, you know, 30 seconds or whatever? I said, I don't know. But he did it.
Magic.
Right?
Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah. And we're going to hear a little bit more from Robert and Ernie coming up because Robert also wrote a song with a woman named Bonita. Oh, let me see. I got my notes here somewhere. Where are my notes? Bonita Cossack.
Okay.
And they wrote a song called Sunflower Serenade, which is really all about renewable energy.
Very cool.
So I call it the renewable energy anthem. So we're going to play that today, too.
That's great. Music is such an incredible tool for reaching people who don't want to listen to talking heads. Give them data.
Ever so grateful.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to say now, before I forget, that we also have a new closing for the show by a friend out in, I think, Portland. He's a broadcaster, television and radio broadcaster, who has like this butter voice. And I said to him once, oh, I love your voice. He said, oh, I'll do a voiceover for you.
I think he said, I'll do a voiceover for you.
That's pretty much how it went. His name's Dave Erickson. And
very cool.
Really very grateful. And he has every man driver. I'm going to have to look up, you know, before we close the show, make sure I give his URL out because he has a great podcast, which I was on, actually.
Cool. Lots of great stuff going on in Portland.
Yeah.
It's one of those communities we keep an eye on to emulate.
And I could be wrong. Maybe he's not in Portland. I'll have
to check. Well, we'll give Portland a shout out anyway.
I know he's on that side of the country and it's not California. So to me, it's Portland.
It must be. What else is there?
A limited New Jersey girl. Jersey girl.
Sorry,
view.
Seattle.
View of the West. Yeah, right. He could be Seattle. I don't. Anyway, Dave Erickson. So I'll
terrific.
Give him another
well,
shout out before
can't
we
wait
close.
To get to the end of the show.
I know, right? I know. You heard it before.
I did.
So we have a big show today.
Yeah.
I am so excited. We have had the honor to speak to Heather White, who is the
executive director
of the Environmental Working Group, which if you listen to the Green Divas enough, you know that we mention EWG almost every show. We reference them because they are really the research and
incredible resource for consumers and parents, and I'm very impressed with the extensiveness of their consumer guides and scientific research, and really helps take that really confusing technical data and put it into real life terms. So when we're at the point of purchase and
you're like, oh, right, that's right. I looked it up and this is what I want. And it's actually surprising. Some of the natural, so-called natural brands that you think are so clean and healthy don't really come up so well ranked.
Yeah. You're just looking at flame retardants and peanut butter.
Oh, that was weird, right? Yes. Heather did a video
how
about
many
the toxic
sandwiches have caught on fire.
The toxic chemical what's the I can't find my notes, but anyway, but we're not talking to Heather today.
We're right to the point today.
I know, right. Ramble on, Meg. We're going to be talking to Ken Cook, who is the president and I think the founder of EWG, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, we're really excited. We're going to be talking to him a bit about the toxic substance. Wow. Come on, help me out here. You're not helping.
Yeah.
You're not helping.
I'm much better with acronyms.
Where did I put that? Oh, there it is. The Toxic Substance Control Act. Which, you know, I blocked out because apparently it's pretty useless as it is in its current form. It was enacted in the 70s.
And there was the Safe Chemicals.
And there's now the Safe Chemicals Act, which I guess former, you know, Senator Lautenberg, who just died this past year.
Well, hopefully someone else has picked up his role as champion for that kind of important legislation.
Anyway, so Ken is going to call us and talk about a bunch of different things revolving around the toxins in our environment, how we can identify them, clean them up, you know, get a little bit of regulation so we at least know where things are. right?
Absolutely.
And
anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's a great tool not just to inform yourselves, but the people who represent you at the local level, state legislation,
well, and
up to the national level.
I think
as
he
well.
Can really help highlight and help us understand the legislation that is out there mm-hmm. and what it needs to get pushed through to the point where it's really useful.
Right.
And not just kind of, you know, mm-hmm. like not like I think that this old thing from the 70s is like, come on.
Right.
It's
right.
not helping.
No, they're one of the highest rated research and consumer education groups out there. So,
oh, yeah.
What a score.
I know.
Green Diva Mag.
Well, Green Diva Lynn helped us with that one. She hooked us up.
All right.
And we're going to hear from Green Diva Lynn.
Terrific.
We have a really fun, the beginning's fun. Green Diva's My Earth 360 report, which, you know, starts out sexy and okay. then gets kind of serious. Okay. And then, you know, you'll have to just tune in to find out what that means.
Yes.
So you have to stay tuned for that.
You had me at sexy.
You had me at sexy. And then, you know, our old buddy Lisa, Green Diva Lisa, who we used to be in the studio with all the time, my sister.
Oh, cool.
She called in from Maine with a really, really interesting foodie file. Have you ever heard of even dried basil seeds?
I have not.
I mean, you know, as a nutritional...
How small must a basil seed be?
Right, but a dried basil seed, right? Hmm. So anyway, apparently they're a lot like chia seeds, very similar. They poof up and they get the little gel around them and they're extremely nutritious.
Terrific.
Efficient. Anyway, she's going to talk about that, which I was like, no, never heard. But she's working in a health food store now as a cook. She's cooking because she's always cooking.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she's learning stuff. Then we have a
All you divas are cooking.
All us divas are cooking with gas. And then DIY
Not
this
necessarily
week.
Necessarily gas.
Yeah, right, right.
Yes.
We're not
with
fracking.
Solar.
Yeah,
solar.
Our solar ovens.
That's it.
Green Diva Kitchen. I got to get a solar oven someday.
They're very cool. You can actually make them out of cardboard boxes and tinfoil.
Ed Begley Jr. did that on one of his shows?
Yeah.
Cook brownies.
That was a lot of fun. Living with Ed. My wife could identify with an awful lot of the episodes we watched together.
And then we have a DIY segment with Becky Streepy, who's one of my DIY heroes. She's a total green diva, our Becky. And she's talking about, she has a site called Glitter and Glue. And she's literally going to glitter up some mason jars, like a really simple, fun way to create glittery mason jars.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Mason jars, the ultimate kitchen tool.
I know. And then we have a quick product review from my daughter Carly about some amazing grass, which is
grass.
Yeah, it's like a green smoothie drink thing.
Yeah.
You have one packet of it right there.
Highly nutritious greens.
So anyway, before we go any further, let's quickly listen to some of Robert Reynolds and Ernie Halter's song, which I consider the renewable energy anthem.
Yeah, very cool. Looking forward to it.
Sunflower Serenade.
Jam on.
Yeah, listen up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In the dark halls of Congress, deals are getting done. Money for dirty fuel, hurting everyone. Making the big bucks while the rest of us bleed. The time is now to stop the oil man's greed. Stop the oil man's greed. Drilling the earth, poisoning our seas. Soon there won't be no water to drink. And we need our big cars and our industry. But what's gonna happen when there's no air to breathe? No sky, it's so easy to see the sun shining down, the sun shining down, the sun shining down on you and me.
It's a beautiful song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it starts out a little bit of like bummer, and then it gets, but then it gets
the
helpful,
nature of our work,
right? You know, and then the, it gets like there's a solution. Yeah, look at the sky.
Absolutely. Don't look directly at the sun.
Right.
Look to the sky.
We didn't have time to play the whole song, but I really want to encourage people to go to their website for the album. It's called Born Too Soon, and it's born-2-soon, SOON.com, Born Too Soon. You can find this and a whole bunch of other really great songs by Robert Reynolds, Ernie Halter, and this one was also with Bonita Kosek.
Very cool.
So
wonderful.
Anyway.
You can educate yourself with music.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We've got a lot of great segments. Ken Cook's coming up. We got a foodie file coming up right now with Green Diva Lisa.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Yay! Very excited today to speak to our Green Diva foodie and also my sister, Green Diva Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Well, hello. Greetings from Maine.
Now, for those of you who might not know Lisa or might not have been with us very long, Lisa used to be the co-host of the show and my cohort and all things Green Diva for a while, but she took off and abandoned us for Maine to be a granny. Or cook 'em, as you're called, right?
Yeah, that's Cree for Grandma. I am, as a matter of fact, babysitting today.
Aw. Well, I'm glad you took the time to call us. And you always had some great, you and I are, you know, longstanding foodies, so I figured this was a no-brainer to have you do a foodie file segment.
Well, I am kind of excited to have this opportunity to share something I totally stumbled upon by accident. I went into an Asian market in my son's neighborhood, and I saw these basil seeds, and I thought, oh, that's so great. There is such a big bag of them, I thought. Maybe they use them for sprouting, and they were so reasonably priced. So I grabbed them, and when I got home, I saw that they were dried basil seeds.
Like, so I thought, okay.
Yeah, what do I do with these? So naturally, I Googled them, and I found out all kinds of good things. They behave very much like my beloved chia seeds.
Really?
The upside is that they actually plump up faster in just a few minutes in water as opposed to the few hours that you have to wait for chia seeds.
So they get they get that nice plump, you know, gooey, little bouncy whatever?
Yeah. They get very gelatinous.
Thank
you.
And
they're like little... They're kind of like frog's eggs.
Ew. Ew.
But, I actually like the texture of these. They're a little even more tapioca-like than the chia seeds, which, I mean, they just have a better texture, I think. But they're great, and I will always love chia seeds as well. But, of course, they're a lot less expensive. And they have been used for many years in different practices, Ayurvedic practice, Siddha practice, which I think I may not be saying right, S-I-D-D-H-A, which both of those practices come out of India. And they're also used in Chinese medicinal practices as well.
So,
and they are chock full of all kinds of nutrients.
Okay, that was my question.
In comparison to the chia, they have a little bit more carb in the these seeds than the chia seeds. There's less fat in these seeds. And just a tiny bit less protein, but they really are considered very high in antioxidants, and they're used for all kinds of things, like cooling. Just these drinks are very popular in Asia and other tropical, mostly Asian communities, and of course, a lot of the drinks that are made with those are made with lots of sugar. And then, of course, you can change the ingredients and replace it with agave or some of the other alternatives, stevia or whatever.
And well, how do they taste?
They taste like chia seeds, completely bland.
Oh, okay. So they don't really have a strong, like, don't taste like basil or something.
No, they don't really carry that flavor. But they have all the nutrients of a basil plant that make it a basil plant from a seed. So
really?
They're up there, like all seeds, with, but like the chia seeds, there a lot of people consider them a superfood. And a couple of the things that they do for you is they help cool you down on a hot day.
Huh.
They're used for colds and sore throats and other respiratory disorders. They're used to aid digestion in both constipation, and there's a lot of fiber in them as well, which is why they're great for constipation, but they're also used for diarrhea as well.
Huh.
They are considered for stress relief. They have a calming effect and an uplifting effect for your mood.
Okay, so I'm going to go buy a bag right now. Not that you're stressing me out, just in general.
And they're used for skin infections as well. And they're also used in weight loss. And they're used in weight loss.
Okay, so now I am running to the store.
They're used to, if you drink one of these gelatinous drinks before you have a meal, then it'll curb your appetite, so you won't probably eat quite as much. But,
so you are doing a post. You're going to get back on the site, the new site, the new Green Diva site. You're going to do a post about this. It'll give us all the details, but you're also going to do some kind of recipe for us, right?
I am. I may do a couple of recipes. You know, I'm going to start with kind of a basic lemon basil seed drink. Like I said, these are well known as to be used in drinks in lots of Asian and Arabic countries.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm so excited that that why didn't we think to do this before? What were we thinking? Anyway.
It's great to be back.
Well, soon we'll have you down for a visit, but in the meantime, we'll get you back to call periodically and talk to us about your wisdom and your discoveries.
My discoveries. Well, what the audience may not know is that I'm now cooking in a natural food market.
Oh, that's right.
Up here in Scarborough, Maine, just south of Portland.
Yeah, I was up there and met all the nice folks. It's a great market, and I'm looking forward to coming back up soon.
I'm eager to see you here, Seth.
All right. Thanks, Green Diva Sister Lisa.
It's great to be back.
Bye-bye.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
And I want to give a really hearty shout-out and thank you to our sponsors, buygreen.com, who we love, their rating system, and you can get all kinds of great sustainably made products. And Smarty Marty's Rent a Wreck. Don't let the name fool you.
That's
he said
right.
A funny thing the other day. He's like, you know, hey, we're like recycled cars. And it was kind
Absolutely.
Of funny. So if you go to thegreendivas.com, you will see a banner at the upper right side for Smarty Marty's Rent a Wreck. And please check out buygreen.com for all your kind of, you know, green stuff needs.
Yeah, it's got great stuff. Support our sponsors.
Thank you. Yeah, tell them the Green Divas and Green Dude Paul sent you.
Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest in environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 report to keep up with everything you need to know.
Green Diva Lynn.
Hey, Green Diva Meg, how are you?
I'm great. Happy spring, man.
Yeah, it's going to be about 50 today.
Yay, everybody go outside and play.
I know.
So, of course, there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of environmental news all the time. And you're on mm-hmm. top of it all. But what are the highlights this week of what you're looking at?
I have a couple of WTF stories. I almost said that. I almost said it in the full word form. But this one's literally a WTF story.
Literally.
Literally.
Literally?
If you happen to use lube in the bedroom, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we're getting sexy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you might want to use your bedroom eyes to read the label before getting busy.
How about that? Yeah, you did a great post. We did a great post this week. that came from, is it, what's the name of the website that shared it with us?
Honeycolony.com.
Thank you. Great post got our attention about the potential toxins in, you know, intimate lubricant. What a bummer.
Yes, toxic sex, basically.
Yeah, who needs that?
Nobody, I don't think. Although, well, some people might enjoy that kind of thing.
You never know. I mean, you know, you have your, like, emotionally toxic, you know, entanglements, but who needs to be, you know, poisoned while you're having fun?
Right, right. Yeah, it's basically the most intimate use products, especially the personal lubes, contain toxins like parabens, sodium benzoate.
Yeah.
Even propylene glycol. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's a common ingredient in brake fluid.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Yeah, not the kind of fluids you'd expect to find in an intimate moment.
It's just not right. I mean, that's a buzzkill. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. And many of them come from China, which isn't exactly known for regulating products.
Right, right.
And those are the ones that really contain a slew of parabens, and those are endocrine disruptors.
Yes. Yeah, they are not healthy for anybody. Probably also should just not be absorbing in the skin of the intimate parts, you know, especially of a woman, I'm thinking.
Right. Well, they're linked to birth defects, reduced sperm count.
Oh, dear.
Even the feminization of boys.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to watch out for that stuff.
Okay, so that's a WTF category for sure.
And then a less than sexy WTF story that's going on.
Right.
There's a crazy coal ash chaos going on in North Carolina.
Yeah, what the heck is wrong? Is it Duke Energy?
Yeah, Duke Energy, or the company that spilled tens of thousands of tons of coal ash back in February into a river in North Carolina. They are back in the news because some photos, aerial surveillance photos, have been released showing Duke Energy workers pumping toxic wastewater out of one of their lagoons, as they call them, and dumping them into a canal that leads to the
Cape
Fear River.
That's not right.
Yeah.
That's a definite WTF. Like, come on, people.
Well, and Duke apparently admitted to doing this. They said it was part of routine maintenance.
Really? I mean, in what universe is that kind of routine maintenance or permit, for that matter, okay? You know, why is that okay?
Yeah, it's insane. An interesting tidbit, North Carolina's new governor, Pat McCrory, spent 28 years working for Duke.
Oh, dear. Well,
so who knows, you know, what might be going on there.
Oh, okay. Well,
and that is
shame on you, North Carolina, Duke, governor, whatever, whoever's involved, and the people that say that that's permittable.
Yeah, and there have been problems with them that have, like, back in 2009, they were warned by the EPA that their coal ash storage site was falling apart. And, you know, they had that huge spill in February. They are currently under criminal investigation for this and three other, I guess they have three dozen other coal ash dumps. So, you know, who knows what else is going on? This is just the stuff that made it into the news.
Yeah. Well, I know that you'll have links to all the details. And
I will.
You know, on your fabulous post this week for the Green Divas, My Earth 360 report. So tell me, is there anything good happening?
Yeah, there's, let me see where this went. I'm a little bit under the weather, so please excuse my, slight delay here.
we all send Lynn happy healing vibes.
Yay. Yeah, and I tried your elixir drink that was on the website, and that, I actually do feel a little bit better today.
So I'm telling you, that stuff rocks.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about water footprints, and, the oil and gas industry uses a massive amount of water.
Sure.
Fracking alone uses 2 to 8 million gallons just to frack one well.
Okay, so, this is good
news. And that's some of the nastiest wastewater you're going to find. It's very toxic.
Yeah.
So this is more toxic stuff. But there's a good news side of this.
Okay, good.
because there's a lot of competition for water between the different industries, not just oil and gas, but agriculture and municipal water, it's forcing oil and gas drillers, and they're the ones with the deepest pockets, to invest in on-site water treatment. So potentially that will lead to some new water treatment technology that would otherwise, pardon the pun, evaporate due to a lack of funding.
Right, right.
And that's going to be great news for water treatment companies.
Well, and perhaps
eventually for us.
And perhaps what will happen is they'll reuse the water and recycle the water rather than taking new water.
Exactly. Yeah, because with, I guess it's 3/4 of oil and gas drills drilled in the U.S. since 2011 were drilled in areas affected by drought. So, you know, there's going to be more regulation just on using water.
Good.
And they're going to have to reuse and recycle.
Well, there should
so
be,
this
because
is really good.
Aside from all this industry, like, you know, some of us, we all need water to survive. So,
right.
You know.
So hopefully they'll come up with ways to get all this plastic stuff out of our water. And
well, that will be handy.
Know.
Yes.
Help the people that are in these fracking zones.
Okay, so there's a silver lining, perhaps.
Exactly.
Now, any quick actions you want to mention here? Or I know you'll have some on the post.
Yeah, well, there's a Sierra Club petition asking the EPA to protect our families from big polluters. So I'll put a link to that on there. And
yeah.
That's very, very timely, considering what all these spills going on and whatnot.
That sounds like an excellent action. If you are concerned about pollution, and we sure are, obviously, but I'm not going to assume everybody is. But if you are, it sounds like this is a good thing to do. I'm going to go sign it.
Yeah, we all need clean water, clean air, safe food.
Sierra Club is very cool.
Yeah.
They're a good organization. Well, thank you, Lynn. I hope you feel better.
Oh, I will.
She will. Meanwhile, everybody can go to her fabulous post. And on thegreendivas.com and My Earth 360.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know what? I wanted to mention one other thing. Talking about all of these toxic chemicals, we had just posted recently the thing about unacceptable levels.
Oh, yeah.
And people can pre-order that right on the blog post.
Oh, good.
And watch it online. It should be available to watch in April. But you can pre-order it, and it's less than $5, which is really
well. You know
what?
And it's going to these filmmakers who were working so hard, Ed Brown and you know, his crew. And so, hey, cough up $5, pre-order the thing because you're gonna want it.
Absolutely.
And that's on our site and your site. So
yeah,
party on.
All right.
Thanks, Lynn.
We'll talk to you later, Meg.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
To find out more about this Green Divas My Earth 360 report, visit thegreendivas.com. And to learn even more about climate change and environmental news, go to myearth360.com.
Wait, don't throw that away. Green Divas love to repurpose, upcycle, and reclaim, and keep lots of useful items from going to the landfill. Give it a new life. Or just get creative with easy-peasy Green Diva DIY projects. Becky! I'm so excited. We have one of my favorite DIY blogger, cool, green, vegan, I don't know, foodie girls, Becky Streepy.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
I thought maybe I just, like, talked too much and she went away.
Oh, no, not at all.
That was a long intro, Meg. Anyway, Becky, one of her blogs that I love is Glue and Glitter, right? Glueandglitter.com?
That is it, yep.
So she's going to do a DIY segment with us today. Tell us what we're going to glue and glitter today.
So this is actually one of the few craft projects on my blog that uses glue and glitter.
I think that's fun.
The name is sort of like a nod to my crafty roots, those like glitter glue paintings that you would do as a kid, but I don't actually craft with a ton of glitter. But today I am crafting with some glitter and one of my favorite craft supplies, which is an old mason jar. And I'm going to make some glitter-dipped mason jars, which are really fun. You can use them to store stuff, or you can use them to put gifts inside of.
Wow.
It's a fun way to jazz up, you know, an old glass jar and make it look a little fancier.
Yeah, who doesn't love mason jars? And who doesn't? I mean, I have like a cabinet full of various mason jars for lots of different purposes.
Oh, yeah, I'm obsessed. I have so many, too.
So tell us just how easy and fun this one is.
It is really easy and super fun. So all you need are a jar and some masking tape, Mod Podge, which usually I would say just use watered-down glue instead. But for this project, because you're gluing onto glass, I would definitely use actual Mod Podge because the formulation works a little bit differently than just plain white glue.
Cool.
A paintbrush and then a big piece of paper to catch all that extra glitter, because you're going to just shake glitter on like crazy, because you can always funnel the extra
right
back into your jar.
Reuse.
Oh, did I mention that you need glitter? You need glitter.
Essential ingredient in a glue and glitter mason jar.
Absolutely.
So now Mod Podge, I have a question about that. Now I keep that stuff around because I'm like a fanatical decoupager. But I've been seeing recipes on Pinterest and in other DIY things about making your own Mod Podge. Have you ever done that?
I have tried just the watered down glue, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Glass is just a tricky medium because it's so non-porous, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I would say, like, maybe test it out on something small before you use homemade Mod Podge on a big project.
Okay. So we're using the Mod Podge, which, you know, really, it's not like it's expensive or anything, so.
It's not, and it's non-toxic, so you don't have to be too worried about it. I'm sure it's not, I mean, you wouldn't want to drink it, but.
It's not necessarily vegan.
Maybe. Yeah.
But don't you get a kick out of some of these items? You ever buy something like cleaning solution that says vegan? And you're like, well, okay, does that mean I can eat it?
Oh, we could have a whole other segment about what that means.
So tell us, walk us through it. I'm assuming there's a little bit more instruction.
There is, sure. So to give it that dipped effect, you're going to be doing glitter on the bottom of the jar, so it looks like you dipped it into a vat of glitter. So you tape off your jar where you want the glitter to stop, and then paint it with Mod Podge, shake on a crazy amount of glitter, let it dry, and then you do another layer of Mod Podge over that to seal it. And when
right
you peel off the tape, you have like this perfect crisp line, and then the glitter goes all the way around the bottom.
Oh, so you can make designs with the tape.
You can, yes. Absolutely, you can. You can do all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, I can't wait. And I know you've done a wonderful post to go along with this, so everybody can go to thegreendivas.com, go to the DIY page. Becky's post will be right at the top. Becky?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry. I lost you for a second there.
Oh, no. We can.
So in that post, I also show you how to do a glitter ring at the top so that you have a little bit of sparkle on the top of your jar, too, but that's totally optional. And it really depends on what kind of jar you use. If you use, like, a proper mason jar with a two-piece lid, you can do the sparkle part at the top. But if you are using something that has, like, a solid one-piece lid,
right,
you can still make it glittery, but then you just can't store things like pencils in there that poke out of the top because the lid would cover it.
Oh, and I have some of those two-piece lids, so I see a glitter mason jar in my future.
Oh, I hope that you make one and send me a picture.
Well, now I will, for sure. It sounds
awesome.
Like a fun project. So, Becky, thank you for calling. This is the first of many calls we're going to have with you. And hopefully you'll also be doing some of our Foodie File segments with some of your fabulous recipes.
I would love that.
All right. Well, everybody, glueandglitter.com. Find Becky. How else would you like people to look for you, Becky?
You can also find more of my craft projects and some projects from my co-editors at craftingagreenworld.com.
Right, right.
I think that's all the plugging I'm going to do today.
Aw, well, you're...
Oh, and of course, check out my green smoothie ebook, 40 Days of Green Smoothies. And that's all the plugging that I'm going to do today.
That's awesome. And we'll put all that on the blog, and it may even be in your bio already on the Green Divas. Thanks so much for calling, Becky.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To get an easy-to-follow tutorial on how to do this fun Green Diva DIY project and many others, go to thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember, buy less, make more, and buy local whenever possible. Green Divas are all about buying less and making more. But when we do buy stuff, we try to make sure it is sustainably made and supports healthy, green living. Here's something we liked and wanted to share with you. Okay, so we're sitting here with my beautiful daughter, Carly.
Hello.
Green Diva Carly, who has done some product reviews in the past of some baby things, right?
Yep.
And one of the items I got to review was Amazing Grass, these organic meal. It's all vegetable-based proteins, plant-based proteins, organic, greens, fruits, veggies. Anyway, she's really into this stuff, so I said, why don't you review this?
Right. So there was a few different flavors that they gave me, and I tried a couple of them out. Just like with any shake, you know, they say you could use water, you could use almond milk. I tried one with water. It was good. Tried it with almond milk, and it was a lot of good. I liked the almond milk better, which, you know, most people would, right?
So these are the individual packets.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's a meal replacement.
Meal replacement. And so, you know, we priced it out, and it's like $3. Mm-hmm. If you buy the 10-pack, it's like mm-hmm. $3 a meal. And that's not bad for a meal.
Yeah, for like your breakfast or something. You know, I'm always really busy, and I like to be super healthy and efficient.
Yes, she is.
So I do love the idea of a meal replacement in the morning. And I honestly found it to be really filling. I mean, filling.
Like it held you over for
way,
you know,
longer
hours
than like it should, especially because like the calories, there's really not a lot of calories.
Really?
90 calories for a meal is a really small meal.
Right.
So I was like thinking maybe more like a snack, but it ended up being like I was full as if I had a really nice meal.
That's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like that they're organic mm-hmm. and, you know, I believe they're GMO free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's certified that way. I don't know. But it is organic. So that should mean that it's if it's plant based protein. So that is good news. OK, so check it out. You got to go to amazinggrass.com and you can see all the different products and pricing and order and find out where to find it. And thank you, Carly.
You're welcome.
To learn about more low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green, please visit thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com.
Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Very exciting today. You know, don't you feel like a little groupie?
Oh,
I do.
Absolutely.
I'm like all excited. We're going to speak right now to Ken Cook, who is the founder and president of Environmental Working Group, also known as EWG. And they are really an amazing health and environmental health and advocacy organization with the research. Oh, my goodness.
He's a rock star.
Yeah, he's our environmental rock star of the day. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you? So great to be on the show.
Hopefully we've not set the bar too high, but we won't make you sing.
Yeah, right. You have your guitar to do some riffs for us?
that could send my reputation plunging. I think better leave well enough alone there.
We'll stick to science.
Well, and I will say that we've had the pleasure of speaking to Heather before, who really, it was a great, great discussion with her. I can't remember what we talked about at the moment, but it's all good.
Great.
Today, we're really excited to talk a lot with talk about the toxins in our environment and the legislation that's out there that you're doing a lot to help push to a level that's actually useful. So talk a little bit about what you're doing when it comes to toxins in the environment.
Well, you know, it comes as a shock to a lot of people that so many aspects of the chemical world around us are almost entirely unregulated, or for all intents and purposes, unregulated.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter if you're talking about the hundreds and hundreds of chemicals that are in personal care products that the average man or woman uses every day, or if it's the chemicals that are used in all the materials for your home, or might be in your automobile or other consumer products.
It's downright frightening.
Cleaning products, on and on. For the most part, the level of federal regulation is very, very modest to non-existent. Very little, if any, pre-market health and safety testing of most chemicals used in personal care products and cleaning products, certainly used in industrial applications. And so we find ourselves in this kind of wilderness, and I mean like the wilderness at your local drugstore, at a high-end department store at the cosmetics counter. A very disturbing set of circumstances that we've been unable to fix for decades, and we're pushing very hard to do it now, like a lot of other groups around the country. And finally, the chemical companies are beginning to feel nervous about it. And they're feeling nervous because consumers are starting to reject things like BPA in sippy cups and baby bottles and other applications, water bottles.
Canned foods.
They're beginning to object to phthalates and other ingredients in personal care products. And so the companies are now trying to figure out how they can basically maintain their complete freedom to do whatever it is they want to do, whatever it is they want to put into your products, but create the illusion of health and safety testing that is backed by the government. And that's the fundamental fight as we enter the spring and summer of 2014 in Washington now, is over legislation that chemical companies have proposed that they feel will solve their problems with consumers and slow down the efforts at state legislatures to fill in where the federal government has left gaping holes.
Right.
They're hoping this they can accomplish this, but in fact, most of the public interest groups out there are blowing the whistle on it and saying this is the approach that industry is pushing is going to make things worse.
Well, if I'm not – a couple of years ago I did a television segment about all these chemicals in our environment, whether it's like all the things you listed in all these different categories, and it was something like 80,000 – over 80,000 chemicals are being used, and only – what was it? A couple of hundred of them are being tested for safety on humans?
Pre-market, yeah.
There's something like 80,000 chemicals that at various times have been registered with the Environmental Protection Agency. We don't really know exactly how many of those are in commerce. We certainly don't know what products they're in. We do know that when we've tested human beings, we have found hundreds of them, including in umbilical cord blood, a series of tests that Environmental Working Group pioneered
a few years ago. Disturbing that babies are being born pre-polluted.
That's right. We found hundreds of chemicals in the cord blood that we examined, but if we had had more money and better detection techniques and larger sample, we might have found, you know, I don't know what the right number is. Is it 1,000 chemicals in babies when they're born, industrial chemicals? Very plausibly, it could be that many. So that's right. I mean, we're looking at a wide range of chemicals that, A, we have very little health and safety testing on. that's certainly that's public. Yeah. And B, we never look at the effects these chemicals might have in combination once they're inside our body.
Right, right, right.
So you might have dozens and dozens of neurotoxic chemicals, chemicals that can affect our nervous system, or dozens and dozens that show the capability in animal or human studies to cause cancer. We never add up those doses. We have no methodology for doing it, no real testing protocol for examining that. So the experiment is underway.
Right.
We are the guinea pig.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and our children. And the concern is obviously that this has gotten way out of hand, and we're concerned at the same time that we're seeing rising rates of various health problems, whether it's breast cancer,
right.
Neurological problems, attention deficit disorder, all kinds of things that have links to chemical exposure,
right.
All kinds of health problems, and we're not able to close the gap with good science that's backed by the government at this stage. So,
right.
Unfortunately, people are kind of left to their own. But it really does. So go back to the first point. It does come as a surprise to people that the government is not there protecting them. But that's the case. The government is, in most cases, doesn't have the legal tools to do it. And in other cases where they do have the legal tools, there's either so much pressure from the chemical industry to
right.
not implement the law, or they simply don't have the resources within the agencies to do it. So
right.
we're seeing a real shift here, I think, where consumers are kind of waking up to these chemical exposures and are searching for ways to reduce them on their own, not waiting for the government.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, I give talks all the time, and invariably there's a young woman sitting in the front row or not too far back who's probably 6-8 months pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and I find myself up there saying things like, well, we really need the government to step in. And the more I think about that, the more I've realized over the years now that I have a child myself who's 5 and a half,
mm-hmm.
realize how untenable that statement is. Because when I say it, what I'm basically saying is, look, first we have to pass a law, fight through the chemical lobby and get a good law on the books. Then after we get a good law on the books, we have to wait for a regulatory system
right.
to be set up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 10 or 15 years, so the baby that I'm seeing in her belly right at that point
right.
is going to be in college
before
we even know, in some cases, whether the government's going to take action on a chemical that's likely to be dangerous.
So I think one of the great aspects.
That's why people are asking, what can I do on my own?
Well, exactly. That's what my point was going to be. So you do all this great body of scientific research that helps inform you and legislators and consumers. And on the consumer side, your consumer guides have just been phenomenal tools for those of us that want to make educated, informed choices.
You mentioned something about the Wild West and being lost out there. And I'll tell you, with EWG, I don't feel as lost. Those consumer guides are an anchor and a resource. And I was saying before, earlier when we were opening the show, that I think we reference you guys almost every week in regards to something. It's amazing work. And I know you probably feel, based on what you were saying, that there's still an awful lot to go. But do you live in Washington, D.C., or just spend a lot of time there?
I spend a lot of time there. I live in Northern California.
Nice.
I live in Marin, just north of San Francisco.
Oh,
where
that's
there's
rough.
A great deal of interest in all of these issues. And, we're very proud of that work. Thank you for mentioning it, and thank you for making reference to it in your program. We really kind of stumbled into it. We started off as a research shop that was aimed at policy change, right?
Right.
And as we've seen, not just in the area of chemicals, but in environmental protection in general, Washington is so broken that it's very difficult to really get people to believe that something is going to happen anytime soon to protect the environment. And I come from, I was an environmentalist making my way in the field in the 70s and 80s where, some of your listeners will recall, and you will recall, we were passing major environmental laws, sometimes two or three of them every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we have not passed an environmental protection law and sent it to the president's desk for signature in almost 18 years.
Wow.
we're approaching a generation in terms of span of time since we've updated any significant environmental laws or enacted new ones. So we have, you know, made it very clear at EWG now that we are going to be redoubling our efforts to bring to bear the very best science we can, very best analysis we can to help consumers pick their way through this wilderness that we talked about earlier.
So I bet you I bet when you got started with all of this as an environmental scientist and caring about the environment, I bet you didn't realize how much you would learn about lobbying and all of those industrial lobbies and the red tape that you must have to wade through right now.
Well, and the deluge of campaign contributions, there are...
We have to fix that. We really have to fix that. It's so upsetting.
Right. I mean, until we take those things on, it's really difficult to imagine that things have only gotten worse in recent years with the rejection of some of the fairly meaningful limits that we had before it with campaign contributions. Once those got thrown out the window by Citizens United, we really are facing... a grave, grave threat to our democracy. And environmental laws are right at the point of that assault, because if you look over the years at what has really animated business conservatives, it has been to turn back the tide on environmental law and regulation.
Anything regulatory.
Began to hurt their bottom lines at a time when they were becoming more and more focused on short-term profit.
Yeah.
And so it was a collision course. All those laws that were passed in the 70s and 80s, the Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, on and on, Superfund, as those began to bite the bottom line, the companies decided to invest and make an ideological point of principle, the opposition to environmental regulation and laws. So we've really got our work cut out for us. But on the positive side,
there you go. Good. There's got to be something.
I had one of those too. So we'll let you go first.
No, there are some real positives out there. There is a green economy that's springing up. In many cases, it's springing up in areas where there aren't good rules of the road, and that's not meaning federal law and regulation to kind of guide and determine what's good and what's not in terms of the environment. But still, a lot of companies, and we come across them every day, are taking efforts into their own hands to avoid dangerous chemicals and adopt other manufacturing processes, energy conservation techniques, solar power, on and on. They're really, as the campaign contributions and the lobbyists have squeezed the life out of Washington, D.C. with respect to taking care of public health, you can't squeeze the impulse out of Americans to get that better health and get that protection for the environment. So they're going around the legal system, in effect.
Well,
setting up all kinds of economic systems. Organic agriculture now is over a $30 billion industry, organic food and agriculture. Solar's taking off. It's very threatening to the status quo. Organic is still less than 1% of the acreage in this country.
Yeah.
And solar is less than 1% of the electricity. But still, the powers that be, the utilities and mainstream agriculture, are very nervous and launching campaigns against solar and against organic. So we know we're making some headway.
Yeah.
And we know personally, I can say for a fact, we talk to companies every week that are formulating personal care products, sunscreens, cleaning products. They're following the EWG guidelines, the rating system we've developed, and they're formulating their products according to that, and those are going to be safer products.
You're setting standards, which I think is incredibly important. And when you were talking, I was thinking about how empowering it is now that we have these options and we can vote with our wallet. If our congressman is – now, listen, we had Frank Lautenberg, who I know was a champion of the Safe Chemical Act, right?
Was he ever, yeah.
And is there anybody else stepping up that's
since he's passed?
Since he's passed.
There are many great champions in Congress. I would say Barbara Boxer, who was worked very closely with the late Senator Lautenberg. She is a lion in the Senate. A lioness, perhaps, when it comes to protecting children's health. I mean, it shall not pass if it does not pass her test of protecting kids. Just to give one example, But it, you know, again, we're also losing some giants, right? Henry Waxman retiring, George Miller retiring. I mean, this is to use the California context. This is like losing redwoods in terms of environmental history and environmental effectiveness in the Congress.
So when are you going to run?
We have a lot of members coming along.
When are you going to run?
I would run away from an election at this point, just because of what it takes to get elected, the money that you have to raise.
I know.
And,
right.
You know, the, unfortunately, in many cases, the compromises you have to accept to be considered eligible for it in the eyes of your own party. But no, I think we're going to be seeing a renaissance of environmental policy. We're already seeing a lot of progress in the states. So it's the marketplace and the states now that I think many of us are looking to make progress, because at the federal level, again, it's just been very, very difficult for almost two decades now. Yeah.
So how can our listeners support your work and continue to give you the resources you need to continue to make these guides available to us, to do the research and to provide the balance in lobbying in Washington?
Well, for one thing, we'd love it for people to stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter that comes out every week or so. We send email messages out to folks to keep them up to date on what's going on in Washington, what we're working on. Of course, it would be wonderful to have support, and there are options to do that on EWG.org. But for the most part, what we really urge people to do is, don't give up on your personal desire, your personal drive to protect your health and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Once you set your sights on that and realize that the environment's not, just smokestacks belching pollutants into the air or something that's coming out of a tailpipe. The environment is something we metabolize day in and day out. It's the water we drink. It's the food we eat, personal care products, cleaners, how we paint our homes or seal our decks or operate our vehicles. All of these environmental choices are very intimate. They're very important. And I think by embracing options in the marketplace that can make a difference, you're going to be advancing the cause. And then on top of that, pay attention to the League of Conservation Voters at election time, how
Absolutely.
They score members of the House and Senate. Take that into account when you vote. And participate in civil society. Everyone is, surprised, but it's true, that individuals still matter.
Yeah.
I think it's critically important, despite the wave of lobbyists and all the campaign contributions, you can still get the attention of a member of Congress with a good, straightforward question and some tenacity, and that's what we need.
Well, I'm going to suggest that everybody, that part of what you're saying, just to underscore it, is to get educated, learn about what really is going on out there. And EWG is a great resource to find out not only about individual products, but like you said, the legislation that's out there. And when things come up, if you're subscribing to the newsletter, you're going to know if it's time to write your congressman or senator and take action.
Our segment flew by.
That's exactly right. And may I also add, listen to this radio show.
Thank you so much.
This is a very valuable source of information. So the Green Divas are always on top of what's going on, and we're really grateful that we've had a little time to spend with you today.
Well, we'll have you back, no doubt. And I
Anytime.
Appreciate your time, Ken. Thank you so much.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas radio show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.